Well, it is always a joy to host this time, the Grandview Covenant Church church service on Sunday morning here at the Threshing Bee. Apologize for that wind that's happening. And I don't know if you know this, but at one time, our parsonage was right across the street over there. Actually, the house is still there. If you drive by that street, that was the original parsonage of our church. Our church is over 100 years old. It's just directly south of us here up on top of the hill. Most of you have seen it before. We have quite a connection with Granite over the years. Our address used to be Granite, even. So a lot of history to the neighborhood. Well, one thing I appreciate when we all come together, we are a group of churches that come here. We are really the body of Christ, as we'll talk a little bit about as we come together. It was about 2.5 years ago, my wife and I decided to come to Granite. And I couldn't come and visit right away. I was from Washington State, and Iowa seemed like a long ways away at the time. But what I did, I took technology and I studied Google Maps. How many of you are familiar with Google Maps? Wow, a lot of you. And I saw that there was a little like community down here. I couldn't quite figure out what it was. But I noticed there was a train track that one time, it wasn't there. I could see the tracks weren't there. But I could see it came across a river, came through this little town area, and then went on that way. How many of you remember the tracks being here? Anybody? Okay, some of you do. Yeah, they had to be. They weren't removed that long ago. But I found out a little bit later as I started talking more about some of those in the church, I was telling Daryl Hansen, I could have a show of hands, who knows Daryl, but you all know Daryl, right? Where are you, Daryl, by the way?
Hiding out over there.
He's over here, in the shade, yeah. Oh, there you are. Hi, Daryl. Wave to everybody. He's in the air-conditioned vehicle. And Daryl reminded me, told me that the tracks were here, and then he went on to tell me a story of how when he, in his younger days, I hope this isn't recently, Daryl. In his younger days, him and his buddies would take a car and put it on the tracks, lower the air out of the tire, and they'd ride down the tracks. I thought, wow, that's adventurous. But I wasn't quite sure whether or not Daryl was pulling my leg. Didn't quite know Daryl well enough at the time. And this all ties together, but the first 2 months that Beth and I lived here, we moved into the Zanger farmhouse by the Larchwood Airport. Some of you might be familiar with that farmhouse. Before it was an airport, it was a farm like everywhere else. And it was an older home, a little cold in the wintertime because we moved in February, so it was chilly there. But one of the things on the wall was a collage of photographs. And you know what one of those pictures were? It was a car on some railroad tracks and a whole slew of teenagers on there. And I couldn't figure out what I found greater joy looking at this car on the railroad tracks are the smile on those teenagers. There was Daryl Hansen, I recognized him. Jimmy Dieters, I recognized him. And Jimmy Zanger, to name just a few of the teenagers that were there that day. And I thought, they were crazy folks back then. Daryl, did you ever hit a train coming at you? Nope, he said no. That's good. He's still here with us, so that must be true. Well, even though I don't work a farm, I don't have a farm, I enjoy talking to farmers about farming. And you might remember last year I told the story of my first year here, and I asked the church in our family prayer time, we usually pray and have a conversation as we pray. I asked them what I could pray for. And this one farmer said, well, Pastor, could you pray for rain? We could really use rain. So I did. I prayed for rain. The next week I asked, how could I pray for you? And of course he said, if you might remember, could you pray that the rain stops, Pastor? We really would like it to stop. So this year, I asked my once farmer friend, I know a lot of farmers, but specifically a farming friend, I asked him, how can I pray for you? And he said, well, Pastor, if you could pray for my property on the east side to have some light mist. And over on the west side, if we could have a little bit of rain. It's kind of dry over there. And up north, we really could use some sunshine. I said, oh man, it's going to take me a while to figure out this farm country stuff. But I did pray for him, and their farms are doing well. So thank you, you farmers, for helping me out in my education here of the Midlands. Well, one person who I know you'll relate to, who had a keen insight into the world of farming, was Paul Harvey. As a 9-year-old kid, I loved Paul Harvey. As a matter of fact, I would take my transistor radio to school, sit on the swing set at lunchtime, and listen to Paul Harvey. Some would say I was kind of a weird kid, but I don't know. I figured you and I would be all with me there listening to Paul Harvey. Do you remember he'd say, "Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news." You remember that? I know it sounds nothing like him, but that's the way it was. But I'm pretty sure I wasn't the only one that enjoyed Paul Harvey. And I ran across a talk that he gave to the Future Farmers of America in 1978. Paul Harvey was on the air from the 50s until the 1990s. He had a very inviting story as he spoke, and he connected with many people across America, especially with down-home farming folks. So let me share that speech. It's not real long. I'm just going to read it. Let me share it to you. And it's as it speaks to the culture of the farmer. This is, again, from 1978. "And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, 'I need a caretaker.' So God made a farmer. God said, 'I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, and then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board.' So God made a farmer. 'I need somebody with arms strong enough to wrestle a calf and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to call hogs, tame cantankerous machinery, come home hungry, have to wait for lunch until his wife's done feeding, visiting ladies, and tell the ladies to be sure to come back real soon and mean it.' So God made a farmer." I heard an extra laugh on that one. "God said, 'I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn calf and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can sharpen an axe handle, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, and who, planting time and harvest season, will finish a 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then painting from tractor back, put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God had to have somebody willing to ride the ruts at double speed to get the hay in ahead of the rain clouds and yet stop in midfield and race to help when he sees first smoke from a neighbor's place. So God made a farmer. God said, 'I need somebody strong enough to clear trees, heave bales, yet gentle enough to tame lambs and wean pigs, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. It had to be somebody who had plowed deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, rake, disc, plow, and plant, and tie the fleece and strain the milk and replenish the self-feeder and finish a hard week's work with a 5-mile drive to church, bless his soul. Somebody who would bail a family together with soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh and then sigh and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says he wants to spend his life doing what dad does. So God made a farmer.'" I love Paul Harvey. I grew up in a rural community. In my neighborhood, farming happened. In the wintertime, before my day, a lot of coal mining happened in the same area. But there were always farms close by, cattle, sheep, goats around, chickens squawking all over the place. But by the time I left home, we had become a bedroom community of Seattle. A bedroom community for the Boeing company where they built the 747s was 15 miles away from my house. It was a little bit of sadness. I remember this small town parade that we had when I was a kid. They gave that up sometime. Not only are farmers down to earth, but their perspectives are as well. They're very practical. Their common sense is wonderful to be around. Their values of God, family, country is easily shared around this area. My biblical text for today is an analogy. It's a metaphor of farming that the Apostle Paul shared with the church at Corinth. Paul was very effective in his letter writing, and he had to come up with stories, ways for people to connect to his words. And as I read, you'll spot fairly quickly that Paul obviously was dealing with an issue in his church, an issue not so different than we have today. I'll be reading this passage at this time from the New Living Translation. We normally do the NIV, but sometimes the flow is a little easier in the New Living Translation. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have a Bible and want to turn with me, you're welcome to. Verses 4 through 9. When one of you says, I am a follower of Paul, and the other one says, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting just like people of the world? After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered. But it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their hard work. For we are both God's workers. And you are God's fields. You are God's building. Obviously, this story is pointed to more than just farmers and to all Christians. The problem that Paul is facing is issues we have today. We each have favorite pastors, teachers, authors, TV personalities that we connect with. And given our personal styles or personal personalities, it's only normal that we have those that we favor as far as preaching and teaching. That's normal, and we have to enjoy that. But what we want to see here, what the Apostle Paul is trying to connect with, communicate with, is that our focus should be on Him first, on Jesus Christ. Our focus needs to be on the message that God gave us through His Son, that awesome message of hope and salvation that as Christians we have found in Him. And I believe here today we are doing that. We are honoring Him today by being here, coming together. We're given an opportunity to hear, to receive, to celebrate the words of truth and grace found in the Scriptures. The big picture for us is God, our Creator, the sovereign Lord of all the earth. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, for our sins, so we could be free from the results, the penalties of our sins, the consequences of our sins. We could be free to live a better life now, an eternity through Him forever. If we call Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. The purpose of God's Word is to make our eyes, our hearts sensitive to hear His Word. And I'm not just talking about knowledge, getting more and more knowledge. I'm talking about a personal relationship where He is a presence in your life as you walk every day. I talked to a friend of mine, actually from this area, who became a pastor. He became a pastor from all the hours of sitting in his tractor. all the hours of sitting in his tractor and hearing God talk to his heart. And he made a decision to become a pastor. It is a great gift we have, God's words, as he shared them with us. Paul chose one of the most ancient metaphors as he looked to communicate us, farming. It's one thing farmers know very well, maybe better than the rest of us, that farmers must work tirelessly. But more than anything, they have learned that they have to depend on the forces of nature around them. They have to depend on the elements around them. In the end, a true farmer can take credit for working hard, can take credit for wise decisions, but he knows that he can make in his own power nothing grow. That is a miracle of God. The seeds germinating, gravity-defying growth, a plant that develops till its fullness, miraculous multiplication of seed. Those are God's handiworks. It is all God's doing. And it's probably why farmers tend not to be boastful. They tend to be people who not only are humble, but also fear and respect God. If they don't, they need to be thankful for their neighbor farmers who do. This metaphor really could be used for many sermons and a lot of messages. There's much insight as I studied it, but Paul's application is clear. The ministry of the gospel is not about farmers. It's not even about gifted preachers or teachers or spokespeople, but it's about the fact of God. It's about the fact that he has purpose for us. He has roles for us to play in his work, in his kingdom. And in the end, it's God who does the miraculous. In the end, it's God alone who does what only he can do, the impossible. Only God can heal the brokenhearted. Only God can break the chains that bind us. Only God can turn our despair into hope. It's all about God. Paul said, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God made it grow. It's neither the one who plants nor the one who waters who is central, but God who needs to be central of our life. It's only God who gives life. John 1:4 reads, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, and you'll know this one, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other name under heaven given among men to be saved. At Grandview Covenant Church, we love that message of life. And we have three simple words to help us keep on that focus. The first one is worship, and then grow and live. These three words provide us a roadmap to help guide us. We worship God to honor him, to praise, to pray, and to proclaim him. We grow in Jesus Christ, in his word, in his truth, and reflect that in our lives. And we live by God's Holy Spirit. We're empowered in the body of Christ, the church, loving God, loving each other, loving those around us, and looking to bless all we can come into contact with. It could be considered a grand challenge to all of us. And wherever you are, wherever you worship, I invite you to join our church in worshiping God our Father, growing in Jesus Christ our Savior, and living by the power of God's Holy Spirit. God has a purpose for us in his kingdom. We are Christians together. Together we make up his church. Together we make up the body of Christ. Obviously, if you would like to know more personally what that means, what the impact of these words are on your life, find me afterwards. I'll be around for a while. I'd love to sit down and chat with you and help you explore what that means. Maybe it's just taking a step closer to Him. Ask me about that as well. I'd love to be alongside you. I want to leave you with a word of encouragement today, as left to us by the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to his church in Rome. This fall, I'm going to be starting a series on the book of Rome, the book of Romans. And I found out Bible Study Fellowship is also going to be teaching at the exact same time on the book of Romans. So if you're familiar with that, that's a nationwide Bible study in most communities. But Paul really communicates well here. This is from Romans 6, 22 and 23. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We are all, as Christians, blessed to carry out the wonderful word and work of our Lord, the call He's given us on our heart to serve Him. Praise be to God our Father. Praise be to His Son, Jesus Christ. And praise be to His Holy Spirit, our Comforter. Let me pray. Lord, gracious God, Father in heaven, You have blessed us. You have blessed us with the truth of Your gospel, with the grace of Your gospel. We all come up short. We all struggle. We are all sinners. But through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, You have bridged that gap, that gulf that separates an unholy people from a holy God. And we praise You for that, and we thank You for that. May You bless us as we look to bless those around us with truth and grace. In the very holy name of Jesus Christ, amen.